world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I got up this morning. I get up early every morning. We got frost out here today. How about that moon? Have you guys checked out that moon? They call it a beaver moon. It's like unbelievable how big that thing is. It's full right now. So go run outside real quick and look. It's full right now. Called a beaver moon. In fact, it's one of the largest full moons that we ever have. I took Michelle. We walked out on the front porch this morning. Wow, that's amazing, really. It is amazing. We live in unbelievable times, and it's easy for us to, as one of my friends said to me, said, Coach Dave, one of the problems in the American church is that we're living out pre-written history. I said, what? Yeah, we are confirming, rather than living our lives and doing everything we can to be salt and light and standing up against the forces of darkness, we are living out pre-written history. This is what the Bible says. Well, that's what the Bible says is going to happen. So therefore, we don't oppose anything. We don't oppose that. And I said to somebody yesterday, can't remember who I was one. Doesn't matter. How many of you out there, you don't have to raise your hand. I ask you this. How many think you're going to physically die before you're raptured? I'm going to raise my hand. I'll be the first one to say it. I think I will die before I'm raptured. That's my belief. And because that's my belief, the Bible says work while the sun shines, because the day comes when no man can work. So evidently, there is a limited time for this. And I'm not here to argue or debate or anything about the rapture. That's not the point I'm trying to get at. We're seeing the judgment. I got a really good show. I'm just kind of rambling right now. I got a really good show. We'll hit you right in the face. Can I show you the number one thing? What with New York City? Folks, here's what I'm going to talk about today. The judgment. The judgment of God is all before us. And there's no other way to explain what is going on other than the judgment of God. And also, we forget this. The Bible tells us, or some wise man told us, that you reap what you sow. Meaning, whatever you plant, you get. If you plant atheism, you will get atheists. If you plant Christianity, you will get Christians. If you plant humanism, you will get humanists. It's a law. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. And I came across this statistic, which absolutely blew me. I'm going someplace today, so bear with me, all right? pull up, Spencer, that chart. Pull up that chart. 84% of women in Gen Z, 18 to 29, voted for a Muslim. Look at that chart. 84% of women. Should I say it? Can I say, Jeff? Now tell me. Go ahead and say it, Coach. Gina, you give me a thumbs up. Go ahead and say it.
Say it, Coach.
Okay, I'll go to say it. And look, you can get as mad as you want to. I love my wife. I have granddaughters. I have daughters. The worst thing that ever happened was giving women the right to vote. Now here's what I mean, because the husband was the head of the household. The husband was, and so when a man went to vote, he voted on behalf of the entire family. He was the head of the house. What kind of vote do you get when mom votes one way and dad votes another way? There's no unity even in the home. Now you can swallow this if you want to and say, well, Coach Dave, you're making women second-class citizens. No, the Bible did. Not second-class citizens, not second duties, responsibilities. God gave man the responsibility to be the head of the household. God made man the one who speaks for the family. That's the way the family was designed. And then when they gave women the right to vote, look, I would trust my wife and I, we vote the same way. It's not about that. Look at this. Look at this. 84% of women voted for a Muslim. Women under 18 to 29. And what? 84% of women voted for a Muslim. Most lopsided group. Now, can I tell you why that is? Because we're reaping what we sowed. We're reaping. The family is destroyed. The American family, for the most part, those of you who have children, us, including me and Michelle, we have children. God, the forces of darkness against our children are unbelievable. The Holy Spirit, told me this morning, today, are you looking at me? He's calling for a fast, a daylight fast today for prodigals. A daylight fast today for prodigals. You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you out there have a prodigal? Wait a minute. How many, a prodigal, one that you trained in Christianity and today no longer have it. How many of you have one? You don't have to raise your hand. Hey, folks, look at this. Women 18 to 29, 84% of them voted for a Muslim. And in your home, in our home, there's a prodigal in our home, trained in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, somehow pulled aside. I'm going to show some stuff today. It's going to curl your toes if I get time to get the whole thing done. So I'm calling all of you right now. If you have not eaten today, if you have eaten, you can start right now. It's okay. We're praying. We're fasting today for prodigals. For prodigals. For those of you who have a child, I don't care what age he is. I don't care what age she is. You trained them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And the enemy somewhere along the line got hold of them. We're fasting today for that. Okay, anybody? I know some of you are in with me. Right? And my phone keeps blowing up, so I must be hitting a home run.
Anyway. I'm in, Coach.
Folks, this is Randy. This is as serious as staking the arches. This is, folks. This is the destruction of the family. There it is. Look at that. Look at that chart, friends. How can Americans vote for a Muslim as mayor? Can I tell you why? It's judgment. That's what I'm going to talk about today. It's judgment. By the way, all of you that are texting me, Stephanie's giving me, I'll try to get to those. It'll distract me. So I'm not going to look at that. I got some stuff. I got to give you some stuff that I think is important. Okay. Now, guys, I said another thing hit about Charlie Kirk and whether Charlie Kirk's right. It's all over the internet, the Charlie Kirk, right? It's a great, great distraction. Great distraction. And Charlie Kirk doesn't really have anything to do with me. It has to do with what I'm going to do today. What are you going to do? What am I going to do? Okay. Okay. So here's the email, right? There's the email right in front of you. Now, here's what's happened to us. I just pray for me right now that the Lord will be able to. They've used religion to control us, folks. They've used religion to control us. How many of you have gone to a church or do go to a church or someplace in your church in the past? Your pastor stood in the pulpit and said, "We do not mix religion and politics. We don't mix religion and politics here. We just give you the gospel here." How many of you have been to a church like that? It's controlled, folks. It is controlled. Oh, my goodness, Lord Jesus. It's a great lie that sounds good. That we don't mix the secular and the sacred. When we go to church on Sunday morning, we don't talk about the secular. We only talk about God. But then when church is over, we go live in the secular. And we don't talk about God in the secular. Somebody give me a thumbs up, said, "Coach, that's what's going on." That's what's going on. They take you to church. They teach you all the things about God. And then say, listen, don't go be salt. Don't you dare go out there and take that out there. Don't you dare. In fact, don't even vote. Don't even vote. It's a wicked, Ray, give me a thumbs up because I can see you. Give me a thumbs up. Folks, this has been done on purpose. It's been done on purpose. And I should, let me run you down a few things here. I gotta keep looking at that email. Keep looking at that email, right? How about this, folks? We shouldn't be clapping too loud. Gender, men 18 to 29, 68% of them voted for a Muslim. It's crazy, isn't it? Voted for a Muslim in a once Christian nation. Look at those numbers. It's absolutely unbelievable. 84% of women under the age of 30, 84% of them voted for a Muslim. Women 30 to 44, 65% of them voted for a Muslim. You know why? Because he's going to give them free stuff. Don't give them free stuff. Yep. It's that Trump, that daggone Trump. He's too masculine and mean, and he's acting like he's a daddy. He acts like he rules, and we don't have any more kings, so we're going to elect this Muslim king. Look at the women vote. Look at it. Luckily, women over 65, at least only 35% of them are deceived. So I'm asking, will you fast today? Will you guys fast with me? Daylight fast. Daylight fast. Don't eat any food during the day for prodigals. How many of you are sick out today over a prodigal? Today, you get up in the morning and you're sick. So we didn't train him like that. We did not train him like that. They've lied to us, folks. Okay, so I'm gonna take you. Romans 13. Pull that up there, number six. I feel we need a lesson because some of you are going to one of these stupid churches. Okay? Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. Those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Folks, we're talking about Christianity in a Christian government. We're not talking about Christianity in a wicked government. You understand? You understand? The higher powers are what? They're appointed by God. For rulers are not a terror to good works. But to evil. Rulers are supposed to punish evil. Time out a minute. Can you explain to me what evil is without the Bible? Because you see, there's an element out there right now that's going to tell you if you judge, you're evil. You understand? You understand? Change the words, change the world. You get what's going on out there? Do what is good, and you have praise for the same. Let me ask you something. How do you determine what's good? If they vote in a law, is that good? They vote in a law to murder babies, is that good? Are we to obey that law to murder babies? And friends, your pastor is throwing this baloney at you and using it as an excuse to hide so they don't have to be involved in politics. Because politics makes pastors mad because many of the people sitting in their pews aren't even saved. Gene, that'd be a boom. That would be a boom. Many people sitting in the churches aren't even saved. How many women was that? Pull that back up there again. What percentage of women, Spencer? What percentage of them? 84%. What do they call that, Gen? Gen Z. Gen Z. The ones that don't mind sleeping around, getting pregnant, killing their babies. That, you know, that generation, right? You know it. The Miley Cyrus generation, Taylor Swift generation. You with me? Yeah. For government's a minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For government does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister. Government is God's minister. Government is God's minister to do what? To execute wrath on him who practices evil. Who did they arrest and lock up and throw in the gulag? Good guys or the bad guys? See, they said the bad guys were those who disobeyed the government. Hey, hey, churches said that. Churches said that. Churches said the guys who showed up on J6. Churches said they were the bad guys. Do you understand how far we've fallen? Understand? And if you don't think, well, therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sakes. He said, this is why you pay taxes. Because they're God's minister. Really? Render therefore to Caesar what's Caesar's. Let me ask you a question. Little unborn baby, is that Caesar's? Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Hey friends, they've used religion to control you. You can pull that up. I'm going to another place. Hang on. Pull up number four. Wait, hang on. Not yet. Here's my premise. Oh, God, Lord, help me get through here. Help me get through this. Whole creation's groaning, waiting the manifestation of God's men to show up. That would be the pulpit. That would be those of us who claim the name of Christ. I told you guys this the other day. Pastor Salt Ministries, I've now determined, isn't a church. It's a business. It's a business. Because I don't want the government messing with Pastor Salt Ministries. Would somebody thumbs up any other than me? I'm operating a Christian business here. Okay? Here's a good thing. You get a tax write-off if you support us. But the government ain't going to, the government ain't controlling me. Sorry. I run a Christian business. Christian business. I'm a sower of seeds. I'm a harvester of souls. I'm a Christian businessman. Oh, you listen. Oh, Lord, this is so deep. This is so deep. Who taught us how to reorganize our churches? Who taught us to be 501c3 approved by the government? Who taught us to do that? Where did you learn that? In the seminaries? Cemeteries? Is that where they taught it? And you go right now, yeah, Judah, Freemasonry. You go right now, and somebody wants to start a church, and what's the first thing you say to them? Well, you got to get a 501c3. Right? The very government that's controlling us, you now are supposed to answer to? Are you kidding me? Tell me you're kidding me. The church is supposed to obey Congress? Are you kidding me? Come on, wake up. Okay, hang on. I'm all over the place. I'm sorry. They've used religion to control us. Pull up number 9 real quick. Your church controls you. Your pastor says he's not going to talk about abortion because he's not allowed to. Yes or no? Ray, give me a thumbs up. Do they say that or not? And then they don't have to say anything about it, and they can hide under the pulpit because they said we're just following the law. Romans 13 says we got to follow the law. We got to coach. They say I'm not allowed to talk about it. I really want to, coach, but I got to follow the law. You know I'm telling you the truth this morning, right? I'm so pissed off. Okay, so stay with me. Declaration of Independence. Hang on. We know this. Declaration of Independence is not law. But it is organic law. Meaning, the Declaration of Independence was a seed that grew into the Constitution, okay? Adam, don't let me forget to say something about your show here. I'm all distracted here. The unanimous declaration of 13 United States of America. This is before it was a corporation, by the way. When the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands. The political bands. Not the religious ones. Because it's necessary for dissolve the political bands, which is connecting them with another. Can I ask you something? How do I dissolve the political bands that's connecting me to the American government? How do I do that? which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and the nature's gods entitle them. Folks, there's our governing document, the laws of nature and nature's God. But that's our document, not the Declaration of Independence, not the Constitution. Stay with me. The separate and equal station to which the law is separate and equal. Church is separate and equal from the government. The church is separate and equal. It's just as strong as the government. It's separate and equal. A decent respect of the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the clauses for which impel them to the separation. So some of our friends show up at the J6 and they want to do this. They want to declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. All men, women, men, humans, created equal. They've been endowed by the Creator with certain rights. Unalienable means can't be taken away. Cannot be taken away. Unalienable. Unalienable. They cannot take it away. Right to life. They cannot take it away. Then among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And the purpose of government is to secure these rights. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Not to control you. Not to make you report every expense you make to the government. No. That to secure these rights, what? Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Folks, are you at liberty if you have to get the government's approval? Are you at liberty? And the churches are locked in jail because they are not at liberty to speak against the government. They would tell you. Somebody give me a thumbs up. So I feel like I'm hitting a home run. I don't know if you guys are picking up on this. Okay, thank you. That's all. I just need one. To secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men. What's the purpose of government? Somebody, come on, class. What's the purpose of government? To secure rights. Not grant them. Secure them. You see that? To secure these rights. Governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Not the guys in Washington, D.C. that we elected. No. They don't have the right. They don't have the right to take away my... Oh, Lord, help us. But when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it's the right of the people to order to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect the safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. Taking all your money, they're giving it to Mexicans, border jumpers. They're giving it all to it. And you ain't supposed to say anything about it. You're supposed to say anything about it. He goes, why? Come on, church. You're supposed to love everybody, church. Come on, right? I thought there was a separation between church and state. I didn't know there was a separation between morality and state. Didn't understand that. But when any form of government becomes destructive, it needs the right of the people to order or abolish it, institute new government, and laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect the safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for life transient causes, and accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer or even are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object events that are designed to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for the future security. And friends, and I'm going to tell you in your church, Romans 13 says you're not supposed to have anything to do with the government. It says right there, it's your right and your duty. I'm not done, hang on. We're under judgment. I'm looking at my chart over here. That's duty. Pull up number four. Go ahead. Hang on. Remember they told you there was separation between church and state, right? You know what they told us? You know what they told us? How many open Christian men, unashamed, bold Christian men, do you hear declaring the truth in Washington, D.C.? No, because you know why? As soon as they open their mouth in Washington, D.C. and say something about Jesus, they're going to cry, separation between the church and state, separation between the church and state. But then this dude in D.C. or in New York comes in, a Muslim, and these silly women laden with lusts, Bible calls them, silly women with laden lusts, at 85% vote for a guy that if he has his chance, he's going to put a burqa on him. Yes or no? Yes or no? Go ahead and play this.
In the United States of America, and I hope you're listening up very clearly, Islam is knocking at the door. And when Islam knocks on the door, they knock with a suicide vest strapped to them, all right? You are talking about jihad. You are talking about people taking over our government who are Muslims and believe 100% in the doctrine of Islam, which is Sharia law, it is jihad, it is taqiyya, it is every horrible thing you imagine. These people do not worship our God. They do not respect our constitution. These people walk around a black box in Mecca and yell Allahu Akbar, which is a call to war. It is a call to war. They're not here to assimilate, they're here to take over. Omar Fateh in Minneapolis, he almost won that election. He may win that election. It's still early, we don't know. Zoran Mamdani, who is a complete Islamist, he won his election in New York, and he won it pretty resoundingly. The Democrat lieutenant governor of Virginia, we didn't even talk about her. Nobody even knew where she was coming out of. She is a Muslim who wears a hijab. This woman is the lieutenant governor of the state of Virginia. It is getting worse and worse and worse. You have school board candidates up and down, Muslims. City council candidates up and down, Muslims. Muslims are coming in to your government. And when they get to the government, they are not fighting for the American people. They are fighting for the Muslim people. They are fighting for their own interests. Look at the United Kingdom. If you don't believe me, look at the United Kingdom, who elected a Muslim mayor in London and elected Muslims all throughout the country. They are being replaced systematically. The British people are no longer living a good life in their own country. The Muslims are taking over. They're implementing their Sharia courts. They're implementing their Sharia law. And slowly, slowly, the United Kingdom is dying. It is dying. United States of America, let this be a warning. Let last night be a warning. These Muslims are winning elections. The Democrats are allowing the Muslims to walk right through the door. They got a suicide vest strapped onto them. It's only a matter of time till somebody walks into the Capitol and blows that place up with a suicide vest. And it won't be a terrorist. It'll be an elected congressperson elected by a community of Muslims somewhere in the United States of America. Islam is the problem. Islam is not compatible with the United States of America. Islam is not compatible with the United States Constitution. Stop this scourge before it gets out of control. And let me tell you, we're getting very, very close to the point of no return. It's to the point of no return in the United States.
Amen.
Not allowed to say it, right? Judgment, bigot. You know the words are going to say at you, right? They have their own law called Sharia law, right? We know this. I told you last week, I went to Minnesota just so the Lord would show me what's going on. Minnesota is Muslim. The government of Minnesota is Muslim, folks. It's Muslim. And now the mayor of New York City is Muslim. Say, Coach Dave, you're racist. Yeah, no, I'm not racist. I'm pointing out the obvious. They're the ones that identify as Muslim. They're the ones that told us there's a separation between the church and state. Let's see how long that stands up with the Muslims. Let's see how long. Okay, now, I'm not done, okay? Come on. I'm going to shut up here, man. I'll let you get in here. See, we're under judgment. Pull up, where is it? Oh, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord. When God judges a nation, he blinds the judges. It's Proverbs, I think. Pull up 30 verses on judgment. We don't like to go there. We don't like to go there. Nature of God's judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the people with equity. Hey, God judges, folks. Oh, yeah, he judges. God will repay each person according to what they've done. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of God Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. God's very judgmental. Go to the next one. I'm not going to read them all. It's 30 of them, I think, isn't it? How many are there, Spencer? 30 of them on judgment? Who are you to judge? They tell us all the time. Who are you to judge? God will repay a person according to what they've done. He rules the word in righteousness and judges the people with equality. So on and on and on. Although our churches tell us we're not to judge, God's all about judgment. It's all about judgment. Oh, how they have controlled us. Oh, how they controlled us. Okay, hang on. Where is it? Poem number 5 from Doug Hamp. What would it look like if America were under judgment? What would it look like? So our country was under judgment by Doug Hamp. Our country were under God's judgment because of decades of butchering of innocent babies and the approval of heterosexual, homo, bi, trans, sexual promiscuity, and the distortion of the image of God through extreme tattooing, acceptance of transgenderism. What would that judgment look like? Perhaps we would see plagues of disease such as AIDS, herpes, gonorrhea, hepatitis, infertility, depression, suicide. Our country were under God's judgment because of our refusal to nurture our bodies according to God's standards by overeating and gluttony, and drugs, eating of unclean animals, overdosing on sugar, not resting on the Sabbath, and feast days. What would it look like? Perhaps we would see cancer, swine flu, worms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, ulcers, nervous breakdowns, going postal, mental illness, depression, obesity, psychosis, murder, suicide. Maybe that's what judgment of God would look like. You reap what you sow. If our country was under God's judgment because of the blood we have shed, the sexual filth we produce and distribute through movies and porn, our exportation of children, workers from other lands, of the very land we live on, what would that judgment look like? Perhaps we would see mass shootings in schools. In restaurants and outdoor concerts. Perhaps we'd also see massive devastation of property, forest fires, floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes. I mean, if God was going to judge us, what would that look like? Perhaps this is what God already did, told us in Deuteronomy 28:22. I'm not going to read all of it. Our prayers go out to those individuals ravished by these many tragedies. Because we know that the word says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust, right? When we live among sinners, we pay the price for their sin, no matter how righteous you are. And we need to wake from our own slumber. All of these things are the harvest of what we as a nation have sown for many decades. These judgments are not about the specific individuals. Rather, these are about what we have done in the a collective judgment is upon us. So long as we continue to blame everyone else, we're not going to heal. We must take responsibility. We must repent, just as the prophet Daniel repented for his people. I'm not going to read all this. Put it in the chat. It's really, really good. I got more. There's hope. We simply need to turn to God. When are the Christians? Spencer, do this for me real quickly. Last election. How did Christians vote in the last election? Last in 2024. How did they vote? just click on it, see what it says. Religious group voting, the 220 election. It's 220. That's 220. There it is. Post-election survey. Does anybody see what it says? What percentage of Christians voted? How the Christians voted? I don't know if I say it. Doesn't, I'm going to tell you. It's here. Thank you, Spencer. New post-election results show that Christian support was crucial to Donald Trump's victory. Christians made 72% of the electorate and gave Trump 56% of the vote. Folks, half of the Christians didn't vote for Donald Trump. They voted for Kamala Harris. Now, hang on. Maybe the ones who voted for Kamala Harris were right. What about those of us who didn't? Shouldn't Christians all be voting on the same thing? Shouldn't we all have the same values? You see that? You see that? According to the 24 survey, among self-identified Christians, only 56% of them even voted. I'm pausing, Ray. Just a little over half of Christians even voted. The findings showed notable engagement from spiritually active governments. Blah, 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 blah. Look at this. Almost conservative Christians all voted 99%. I don't even know what the hell it says. Come on in, Ray. It's judgment, folks. We're under God's judgment. We're not under God's love. We're under God's judgment.
That's the key word for this show, judgment, coach.
Ray, who are you to judge? Who are you to judge, Ray? Isn't that what they're telling you?
I'm just a messenger.
Yeah, who are you to judge? Ray, who are you to judge? Who are you to judge, Ray?
These are his words.
Okay.
Now, you take, before he judged Sodom and Gomorrah, he's looking for some righteous men in there because he didn't want to destroy the city with some righteous men in there. It took a couple of angels to yank Lot out of that place.
Yeah.
How about Mandane being a Muslim in New York? What if God wants to judge New York, but he can't until the Jews and the righteous people get the heck out of there? This is their call to get out of there. Now, the ones that are going to stay are the 84% silly women that voted for him, that want to be, that he's got marked for destruction. Right. Those that aren't, bye-bye.
You mean, Ray, are you talking about the girls? You mean talk about the girls who want to spread their legs, sleep with anybody, and then kill their baby? Is that the guy? Those the ones you're talking about, Ray?
Judgment's coming on their heads. Those that aren't righteous, I think he's pulling them out of there.
Yeah.
Same with California, eh?
Mm-hmm. I heard that feminist out there. Yes. Yes. Men are also responsible for sex outside of marriage. But you used to have to work for it. Now you just go to a bar, you get laid. Come on now, tell me the truth. Yes or no? Yes or no? Yeah. And then when you get laid and you get pregnant, you kill it. Chances are, you didn't even know who the father was. You were drunk, he was drunk, he screwed you, put his seed in you, you got pregnant, then you committed murder. Not allowed to talk like that, I'm sorry. Oh, I got more. Hang on before I, I'm going to get you in there, I promise. But I don't want to forget this. Two things. Number one, pull that up there, Spencer. Adam did a great podcast yesterday with Chuck Baldwin. Put that in the chat. Yeah, listen to this. No, you don't have to listen to it because I hate to tell you. Chuck Baldwin goes on for an hour talking about Zionism. Put it in the chat. Watch it at your own risk. Second one. Let me show you this. I didn't even get to this yet. I'm going to come back to it. I'm not changing the subjects. I don't want to lose this, okay? Go to number three. Go to number three. I saw this yesterday. Holy smoke. I gobbled it up. I'm going to watch it twice. Number three. Exorcist. There's a Nephilim takeover through demons and ancestors in America. This, folks, this is a much listen. You must listen to it. I'm going to come back to all you guys up here. Hang on, but I got to get this in. Put it at the 14-minute mark. 14-minute mark. The Nephilim, that we won't even talk about, the disembodied spirits that are roaming the earth, that's overseen. They're occupying these people. Just a couple minutes of it, okay? Just a couple minutes. Go ahead. Put it in the chat. Please watch it. Go.
Or to explain this a little bit, it's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the English language comes from English, which is from angelish, which is from Anglo-Saxon, which is Angelo-Sexton, which is sect with angels, which is sex with angels, okay? Anglo-Saxon means angel sex. Like, that's literally... It means Nephilim, okay? People don't know that because they don't understand etymological roots. If you just follow it back, you'll realize, oh, sectin means Saxon. A sectin means sect. It means sex. It means to join with. It means to be a part of. And then Anglo is angel, okay? It's angel. It's not angler, okay? It's Anglo. It means angel. But the etymology roots, they'll tell you it means angler, which means fish. Oh, yeah, fish, part of fishingmen. Part fisherman. That's what Anglo-Saxon, they'll tell you, means. No, it means angel sex. It means part angel. So anyways, so
I mean, it's interesting, like, just to you when you say that too, like, because I've heard that it means the sons of Isaac, but I also know the history of that, because they came and slaughtered a bunch of British people and, like, pretty much took control of like 80% of the people there. But the fish thing's interesting narrative too, because when you look at, like, almost all civilizations, they claim that these people came out of the water and taught them how to read, taught them how to write, taught them how to mine, how to build civilizations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they came, the funny thing is they came out of water, but, like, why would it, like, angler, like Anglo, like what?
Yeah.
No, it's angel. It's Angelo. Yeah. That's what Angelo is. It's like literally etymologically they'll lie to you, but it's pretty simple when you know the roots and you just look at the sounds, like angler, Angelo. Angelo, Angelo. Oh, Angelo. Angelo sounds a lot more like than angler. Angler and Angelo, they don't sound the same. Okay. Like, it's pretty similar. The obvious word is usually the right word, but then they try to distort your history and they just try to distort your narrative. And then people are like, oh, that's not the root word. That's not where it comes from. Go study etymology longer. Okay. Like, when you start studying etymology, you can follow the roots. You can just, like, look at the words and go, this. Oh my gosh, that's what it means. Like, that's where it comes from. That's the root. That's the understanding. Like, for instance, like, people right now, Gentile. People think the word Gentile means, they think it means non-Jew. Okay. Gentile don't mean non-Jew.
If you suffer from chronic pain, you're going to love today's.
Oh my goodness, you got to listen to it. I'm telling you, it's going to blow. I scratched my head when I was done the cutting of it, because, you know, I'm a wordsmith. I love words. Huh? Oh my goodness. And here's the premise. Here's the premise that the fallen angels are in charge here. James Thomas, come on in, James. I'll give you guys the next 15 minutes here. I'm sorry. It was all good, though. Give me a thumbs up. Have some good stuff on it. Isn't that some good stuff? Now, look, if you don't do your own homework, if you don't do your own research, then this is just a show. It's just a show. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, Shalom, brothers. It's really good. It's amazing what we see taking place and all the chaos and stuff that's going on. You know, in regards to the judgment of God, you know, we could quote call it the judgment of God. You know, if you read Romans 1 and it talks about all the wickedness and stuff, you know, God placed in this kingdom laws, you know, this thing called law of sin and death, and, you know, the law. We live under these laws, and what we see, you know, the Father has a grace for those who are out there doing such things. But once we as a nation, once we as a people fall under this thing called the law of sin and death, you can see that, you know, How did we get from here where we are? It just
because of the law of sin and death. And the law of sin and death is this: the soul that sins it will die. Right?
Right.
So much what we see is the consequence of sin. And we won't even call out sin anymore. If you sleep with somebody you're not married to and they get pregnant, it will lead to death. It's the law of sin leads to death.
And we have a nation of a person, correct? It doesn't necessarily, the judgment of God is much more severe.
Consequences.
It's natural law.
At natural law. I got it. Gino.
Yeah, I don't want to change the chain of thought here. It just popped into my head. That
just say it.
When you said 84% of the women voted, how did they know that amount? Doesn't that prove that our voting is being controlled if they know that?
Oh, boy. Yeah, open that one up, huh? Does it? How do they know that, right? Come on. Come on. Come on. You think our elections are fair? Mm-hmm. Hey, do you think the devil would love? You mean to tell me in all of New York City, they couldn't find a righteous Republican to run? The other choice was Cuomo, the homo again, right? Coach, folks, come on. Mark Trump.
Trying to find the mute button, Coach. This is quick. Going back to coming out of New York, which is what Ray said, think about Lot. He was the only one that was spared, but he had to leave before judgment and not look back. I mean, I am total agreement with Ray, because once, well, you got the other side, right, of staking and taking the land back, right?
Yep.
I mean, so I don't know, Coach. I mean, I totally see what Ray's saying. I just wanted to pitch that in. Think about Lot and what God had them do.
Amen. Hey, bear with me. I got more. Come on in, Rochelle. James, you still got your hand up. I don't have to do it. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Good morning, team.
Religion's controlling us, Rochelle. Religion is nothing but control. That's all it is. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yes, return to bondage is what religion means. When it came, two things I just wanted to bring up. When he said gentile, the thing
it's in
is,
there. Michelle, watch you it.
Were,
watch
those people were mixed with other things that they shouldn't be mixed with, okay?
Yes.
And that's, look, why do you think we have canine teeth, guys? I'm just wondering, do you think that when Jesus was talking to the woman and called her a dog, do you think he was lying about that?
No.
Or do you think that she really had a dog face?
Have
to really start reading your Bible with a different kind of understanding. When Jesus came, he not only came for the lost sheep of Israel, he also came for those Nephilim beings. Okay.
Amen.
And that's what we are. There's no Jews left. Okay. There's no Jews left.
There's no Jews left.
What they call Jews. 84%. I think most of them voted for your mom Dobby guy, whoever that is.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I would say, I just wanted to touch on the women's suffrage thing, because what comes to mind is it's not about this is a matter of what people have been taught. Okay. You tell me a Proverbs 31 woman is going to vote for communism? Absolutely not. How about we get our heads out of our butts and start understanding that once you own land, once you have an investment in this country, you understand what you're voting for. Not when you're a little kid being fed lies about communism.
Michelle, the churches are telling us not to get involved.
I don't listen to the churches.
People do, though. But people do.
Well, unfortunately, they're not even using the pulpit effectively. If the pastor believes that you should not get an abortion, he doesn't have the cojones to get up there and say that to his congregation. Okay?
Not.
So it's the church's fault in a sense, because we are not instilling these morals into the people, because the pastors think it's, if I say something they don't agree with, they're not going to put any money in the basket.
That's exactly right. They're building their own kingdom, right? Religion controls you. Do you understand it, folks? Mm-hmm. Do you understand it? Religion controls you. They control you. 70%, 30% of Christians voted for a baby murderer. Yeah, Ray. Tradition. Okay, pull this up here. This is good, huh? This is a keeper. Pull up number 7. Disobeying government is good. Christian's duty to obey and disobey government and civil authority. Matt Slick, I don't know if you guys know him or not, a Karm. Good stuff, man. Many Christians believe that we should submit to whatever our governments say because God has established them per Romans 13. Therefore, we should not resist or disobey the government. But is that the correct biblical position? No, it's not. In fact, the scriptures contain many instances of true believers disobeying the government authorities. I'll take a look at this in depth, but first, look at Romans. Okay, hang on, stop, hang on. Simple question for all Christians who say we're always supposed to obey the government. Romans 13, yes or no, Christians, did Jesus Christ obey the Roman government?
No.
No.
Friends, why? No. He didn't disobey the Romans government. He said, there's a higher law. The higher law. I'm obeying the higher law. They said, yeah, but the Roman government disagrees with that higher law. Jesus said, that's all right. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to obey God. See what's happened to us? Jesus stood before Pilate. Pilate said, did you not get the power to crucify you, set you free? Anybody know what Jesus said? Sorry, dude, you got no power over me. Unless it's been given to you. But, hey, Pilate was the president. He was the king. He was the prosecuting attorney. He said, you don't know something, dude? I can lock you up or I can set you free. Jesus said, no, sorry, dude. You got no power over me. The only way you got power over me is if it's been given to you from on high. So we have to ask ourselves, has the American government have the power of God behind them, or is there another God that they're serving? You better watch that Nephilim video. You better watch it. I'm telling you. I'm going to do a quiz tomorrow to see if you did. See if you took the time to watch it. Because he breaks down all the words. Friends, the fallen angels have been messing with human government from the days of Noah until now. And we're supposed to be all creation groaneth, waiting for us to show up to put those dudes in their place. And instead, we're believing governmental propaganda and electing non-Christians to office. Man, this is deep, isn't it? This is deep. Scroll down a little bit more here on Karm. I'll get you in here, Craig. Hang on. The general principle we derive from Romans 13 is that to submit to civil authority is to submit to God. This is consistent with the Old Testament. Considered this, I'm sorry. And Daniel disobeyed. And in Daniel 2, it says he removes kings and establishes kings. Therefore, to submit to authority is to submit to God. So far, so good. However, resistance to ungodly leaders is biblical. Peter said, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. So much for obeying godly or secular government. In context, the apostle had been put in jail for healing people. The angel opened the prison gates and commanded the apostles to go to the temple to speak about the message of this life. They did so. They were apprehended and brought before the religious council. There you go. The council reminded the apostles that they had been given orders not to preach in Christ's name. By the way, we still have that same order today, do we not? Hey, Gino, do we still have that order today that you're not to preach in Christ's name? Yeah. Yeah, but Peter answered and said, dude, we're going to obey God rather than men. He disobeyed the government order. So we see that the apostles resisted religious authorities because God, through the angel, had commanded they preach the gospel. And let me remind you that Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He has commanded us all to preach the gospel, and to do so will sometimes mean that we do not submit to everything our government says. Spencer, scroll down. Come on, man. Come on. Jewish midwives disobeyed. Huh? They did. Go on, next one. Go on. Go on down. Keep going. I'm not reading. Go to the next one. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they disobeyed Nebuchadnezzar. Going down, going down, going down. Huh? What? Christians disobeyed the king's order to seize Paul. Going down, going down. God, huh? Does the word of God contradict itself? Of course not. You're supposed to obey God rather than men. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. Say, Coach Dave, you're not allowed to, you're a 501c3, you're not allowed to mention government. Oh, yeah, well, hell, come get me. Come get me. Craig, come on in.
Well, here, it's a little bit of word semantics here. So, you know, it says religion, you know, dictates. Okay, it's our belief system, okay? Religion, everybody goes to and they think of a building, they think of a gathering, you know, a Muslim temple, synagogues, okay? Our belief systems, there are people who don't believe in God, but to them, it is their...
Right? Who taught us that?
It's their belief system, okay? And the thing is our belief system, for most part, is based on our perspective. And our perspective isn't always attached to truth.
Nephilim so controlled. That video will show you. It's Nephilim controlled. Go ahead.
So somebody who believes that grew up and thinks that the government's responsibility is to, you know, provide for the welfare of the people, that's going to be their belief system. That's what they've experienced. That's their perception. So the thing is we have, this is a very difficult thing to break off your perceptions to truth and reality. It's a very difficult thing to do. And unfortunately for God to do it, it usually, he has to break things down really, really bad. And that's called judgment.
And hey folks, you drink too much beer, you get sick. A lot of this stuff is just the consequences of nature. You're so wicked, you get wicked.
And the other thing, Coach, is when I dropped off a piece of paper to you after we went and handed out all those keychains, I laid out to you how 4,900 years from the birth year of Noah, when Eisenhower in 1954 met the aliens and decided to make an agreement for 70 years, this is the culmination of that. We are living in the days of Noah. We're 4,900 years past his birth year in biblical historical things, if you believe that we have the word of God. And if you don't, and you think the numbers are all mixed up and they're 10, that's fine. That's a good discussion. But at the end of the day, we're here.
Randy.
Boy, Coach, you just tied up what we just did in our operation, didn't you?
Yep, I did.
These coach, do you understand that you just tied the Nephilim to the government deception? Do you understand now why Manifest Destiny was such a false narrative? It was never meant to be. They covered up everything, the history of our country, and they pushed us right into all what we are today. So uncovering that, Coach, that's the only way people are going to understand what we're dealing with. Enoch 15, Coach, and we are so on time, Coach. We're not running behind. We're actually winning. We got to see this. We're winning.
We
are winning.
We're winning. Okay, so hang on,
Coach. We got to see this.
Michelle, I'll try to get you. I got 2 minutes left. Friends, do me a favor today. Watch that video. There's Nephilim takeover through demons and insects. It's unbelievable. I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. Please take the time today. Watch it. You can play it at 1.5 speed, whatever. Language, words have meaning. Words have meaning.
Coach, the fact that we're speaking this to this tells me that we are winning. It tells me God is speaking to us. He's getting in front of them what they're doing. And it's prophetic words, Coach. Jesus spoke to the fig tree right before he died. He said to the fig tree, I curse you. He's cursing the evil of his day, that Judaism, which was going to kill him.
Oh, don't get me going.
And it died, Coach. The fig tree died.
Put Adam's thing in the chat. His interview with Chuck Baldwin. Remember, folks, same question Coach Dave's asks every time. Who told you that and why do you believe him? See you tomorrow.